The scripture reading for this morning is Philippians chapter 4. Philippians 4, and we will read the whole chapter. The text is verses 11 through 13. Paul is writing to the church at Philippi, a church that began soon after Paul visited there on his second missionary journey. Philippians 4, "Therefore, my brethren, dearly beloved and longed for, my joy and crown, so stand fast in the Lord, my dearly beloved. I beseech Euodias and beseech Syntyche, that they be of the same mind in the Lord. And I entreat thee also, true yoke fellow, help those women which labored with me in the gospel, with Clement also, and with other my fellow laborers, whose names are in the book of life. Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say, rejoice. Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue and if there be any praise, think on these things. Those things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do, and the God of peace shall be with you. But I rejoiced in the Lord greatly, that now at the last your care of me hath flourished again, wherein ye were also careful, but ye lacked opportunity. Not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content. I know both how to be abased, and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. Notwithstanding, ye have well done that ye did communicate with my affliction. Now ye Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church communicated with me as concerning giving and receiving, but ye only. For even in Thessalonica ye sent once and again unto my necessity. Not because I desire a gift, but I desire fruit that may abound to your account. But I have all, and abound. I am full, having received of Epaphroditus the things which were sent from you, an odor of a sweet smell, a sacrifice acceptable, well-pleasing to God. But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Now unto God and our Father be glory forever and ever. Amen. Salute every saint in Christ Jesus. The brethren which are with me greet you. All the saints salute you, chiefly they that are of Caesar's household. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen." And so far do we read the holy and inspired word of God this morning. The text is verses 11 through 13. "Not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content. I know both how to be abased, and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me." Why did Paul speak of contentment in Philippians chapter 4? To understand that, know that Paul was writing this from prison in Rome, writing this letter to the Philippian church from prison. And while he was in prison, these Philippian believers had sent to him a gift. And Paul was happy to receive that gift. In verse 10, he first references their care of him and this gift, and he speaks of how he rejoiced in the Lord upon receiving this gift. So he was thankful for it. He was happy about it, but he didn't want the Philippian church to get the wrong impression. He did not want them to think that he needed this gift in order to be satisfied in this life. And he also didn't want them to think that he was thanking them so that he might get them to give him more gifts. No. Paul, he doesn't want them to think those things. So after receiving the gift that he did, he writes in verse 11. So this is right after verse 10 where he first gives reference to their care. Then verse 11, he says, "Not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content." So I'm not speaking as someone who's in want or someone who's in need of these things. I have learned to be content in whatever state I am in. Paul had learned contentment. And the question we are to ask ourselves this morning is, am I content with where God has placed me in this life? And that's hard. It's very hard to be content for all of us. It's hard for kids to be content. It's hard for you kids to be content when someone else in the neighborhood or at school, they get more new toys than what you do. Or they have the newest clothes and you don't have them. Or the newest shoes and you wish you did. It's very, very hard to be content for kids, but also for young people. It's hard for young people to be content with their body type or with the athleticism that they have been given. It is hard for a single member here to be content when they maybe always thought they were going to get married and they thought they'd be married by now for sure and have children by now. It is very hard for married couples to be content too. They live with a sinful spouse. It's hard for a mother to be content as she takes care of her children day after day in what can sometimes be a very thankless job. It's hard for fathers to be content maybe with the job that they have, going to work every day. They maybe don't really enjoy it all that much. It's hard. It's hard for older people here to be content, maybe with the aches and pains that they have or sicknesses. So let's ask ourselves as we hear this word about contentment today from Philippians 4, let's ask ourselves, am I content with where God has placed me in this life? And am I learning contentment? And may the Holy Spirit empower us through the word that's brought to us today to grow in contentment. May the Holy Spirit strengthen us more and more to be content to the glory of the God of our salvation. Let's consider this text under the theme, Learning Christian Contentment. Learning Christian Contentment. First, Christian contentment. Second, learning it. And third, the only possibility. First, Christian contentment. What is that? Contentment is being at peace with your earthly life and circumstances. Contentment is being at peace with your current earthly life and circumstances. Contentment is the opposite of coveting. Hebrews 13 verse 5 shows that. Hebrews 13 verse 5 says, "Let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as ye have." To covet is to be dissatisfied with what God has given to you. It is to desire what God has not been pleased to give. And covetousness is forbidden by God. But understand why it's so sinful. Covetousness is really rebellion against God. When you covet, you are saying, God, you the distributor, you do not really know how to distribute gifts. I don't have enough of this or that. You do not know what you're doing. It would be better if I were in charge and I would be the distributor. That's what we say when we covet. And we live in an environment that's full of coveting. The consumer culture in which we live. They say, you need this and you need that. You need this or that to be happy. They really encourage coveting. And the use of social media today can certainly lead to coveting. For instance, a woman may go on Facebook and see that this other woman's husband from church, they go on this trip and that trip. Her husband takes her here and there, and my husband doesn't do that for me. And coveting begins. Or a young person sees something on Instagram or some other social media thing where they see this other girl has this body type. I wish that I had that. Or I had that kind of hair. Now that covetousness is the opposite of contentment. Covetousness is being dissatisfied with what God has given you. Contentment is also the opposite of complaining. Now, complaining is something also that we easily do. Probably more than what we even know. We can very quickly complain in our minds, but even with our mouths too. Kids, you might say, I wish my parents were like that. Those kids' parents, they get them all kinds of things. My parents don't do that stuff for me. Or this house is too small, or this garage is too small, or this kitchen, it's too small. It's just not great. Complaining is common, and it's the opposite of contentment. Contentment is being at peace with your current earthly life and circumstances. It's saying and believing, I do not need a different body type. I am content with what God has given to me and satisfied with how He has made me. Contentment is saying and believing, I do not need a different house, a different spouse, or a different job. I am content. I am satisfied with what God has given to me and what He has placed in my life. Now understand that being content does not mean that one may not ever seek a different job. Maybe that job is very difficult for you. Being content does not mean you may not ever seek a different job, but what it does mean is that if you cannot find a different job, then you're content with what God has placed in your life. Being content does not mean that one may not ever seek a different house. A bigger house, maybe, if his family is growing. But being content does mean that if you do not have the means to purchase that bigger house, that you're content with what God has placed in your life. You are satisfied with your earthly life and circumstances. You do not desire what God has not been pleased to give. May it be clear that true Christian contentment means being at peace even during difficult times. Even during difficult times, that's true Christian contentment. Paul says, by the inspiration of the Spirit in verse 11, I have learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content. That means I've learned in whatever circumstances I am in to be content. It's important to take note of because people in the world might say that they are currently satisfied with their earthly life and circumstances. Someone might say, a worldly person might say, I have a good spouse and I have a nice house, a nice vehicle, a good job and good health. I'm satisfied with what I've got right now. But what happens when the circumstances change? What happens when things go south? Well, true Christian contentment is being at peace, being satisfied even when things go south. True Christian contentment does not depend upon the outward circumstances of life. It is the spiritual strength to say, it's the spiritual strength to be at peace even when your health declines. Even when you lose that nice house, or lose your good job, or your spouse dies. It's the spiritual strength to be content even when things are difficult. That's true Christian contentment. True Christian contentment is possible only for the believer for whom God is everything. True Christian contentment is possible only for the believer for whom God is everything. Paul, a believer, says that he learned contentment in this text. That shows to us contentment is possible for the believer for whom God is everything. A believer is one who trusts in Jesus Christ for salvation and that God's way is good for him. Understand, before we go any farther, that believing is a gift of God. In Philippians 1, verse 29, Paul says, "For unto you, that is unto the church, it is given in the behalf of Christ, not only to believe on him, but also to suffer for his sake." But notice, part of what he says there, it's given to you to believe. It's a gift. One only believes in Jesus and that God's way is good because he has first been united to Jesus Christ. God has united him to Christ. And being united to Christ, one is empowered to believe in him and to trust in him, to trust that God's promises are sure, to trust that His way is good for you. Now the believer enjoys life with God, and he can see that life with God is everything. He has life with God. The believer knows God's everlasting love and care. And the believer, knowing that everlasting love and care of God, he seeks to serve God in thankfulness. And knowing God and serving Him in thankfulness, he is living with God. He is enjoying life with God. And the believer who has life with God, he comes to see that this life with God is everything. He could lose everything that he has on this earth, but he can see that he still would have the Lord's care. So he really has everything. He has God with him, and God with him forever. Hebrews 13, verse 5 explains this. It says, "Let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as ye have. For he hath said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. So he's content, knowing what God has said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. That's what the believer knows, that God's always with him, that God is making all things work for his good and is guiding him to glory. So contentment is possible only for the believer for whom God is everything. Only he can have peace in every earthly circumstance, knowing God's love and care. Understand that believers must learn contentment. Believers must learn contentment. In verse 11, Paul says, I have learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content. Believers have to learn that life with God is everything so that they might be content in every earthly circumstance. Naturally, man is not content and cannot be content in all of the different circumstances of life. That's due to the fall. God created man a covenant creature. He delighted in God. Perfectly delighted in life with him. He loved this life with God above all else. And man was perfectly satisfied and at peace until he sinned. When man sinned, he lost that life with God. And there was now a void. There was an emptiness. We are naturally, man is naturally empty and tries to fill up that emptiness with earthly pleasures and earthly experiences that never satisfy. That's what he tries to do. Naturally, all men are dead in sin and they really cannot be content, truly content. Of ourselves, we are covetous. We know that. Of ourselves, we are covetous. We always think we need more. Even the millionaire, he thinks that he needs more. Maybe somebody else has more and he wants to be up to their social status, or he wants all the things that they have, so he wants a little bit more than what he has. Or a woman gets clothes or a surgery done to improve her looks, she thinks. But when she gets new clothes or she gets this new surgery done, she always needs something more after that. It's never enough. Or one seeks pleasure, but then that pleasure is over and it's not enough. He needs more weekends. He needs a longer vacation. It's not enough ever. Naturally, we are covetous, and naturally, then we also often complain. We say, why can't I have that like they do? We know that about ourselves. We see that. Now, we have been united to Christ. We who have been united to Christ and now believe, we must learn contentment. So naturally, man is dead. Understand, we have been united to the living Savior, Jesus Christ, and that's why we believe. That's He works in us. We have this life with God. We do. As believers, we have this life with God. Yet, we still have the old man of sin. We still have that sinful nature within us. And that sinful nature is always telling us that life with God is not enough. We need things to be happy. The old man says that getting things is most important. Getting popularity. That's what I need. Or getting this or that thing, that boat, that truck, that bigger house, that's what I need. That's most important. That old man of sin within us wants us to be covetous, desiring things that God has not been pleased to give. So having that old man of sin within us, we need to learn contentment. We need God to teach us contentment. We need Him to teach us to stop coveting, to stop complaining. And we need Him to teach us that life with Him is everything. We need Him to teach us that knowing Him, loving Him, serving Him, that's the only life that satisfies. Nothing else does. Learning that life with Him is everything, we will be content in the different circumstances of this life. So we need to learn contentment. And God does teach us contentment. God teaches us contentment using the experiences of this life. Paul says that he learned contentment through the experiences of life that God gave to him. Right after Paul speaks of learning contentment in verse 11, he says the following in verse 12. He says, I know both how to be abased, and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. In verse 12, part of what Paul indicates is that he was taught contentment through the difficult circumstances of his life. And boy, did he face the difficulties of this life. He faced many of them. He speaks here in verse 12 of being abased. That means being brought low. He speaks of suffering need. He speaks of being hungry. And other passages of Scripture speak even more in depth of the suffering that he faced. 2 Corinthians 11, verses 23b through 27. Say, here's what Paul says there. In stripes above measure, in prisons more frequent, in deaths oft. Of the Jews, 5 times received I 40 stripes, save one. Thrice was I beaten with rods. Once was I stoned. Thrice I suffered shipwreck. A night and a day I have been in the deep. In journeyings often, in perils of water, in perils of robbers, in perils by mine own countrymen, in perils by the heathen, in perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils among false brethren. In weariness and painfulness, in watchings often, in hunger and thirst, in fastings often, in cold and nakedness. What suffering Paul went through in this life. And he undoubtedly saw other Christians going through far less suffering. As he went on his missionary journeys, he undoubtedly saw others who didn't have to be concerned at all about where their next meal was going to come from. He undoubtedly saw others who really didn't have much concern about being imprisoned or beaten for talking about the Lord Jesus Christ. But that was Paul's life. Much of it was suffering. And Paul confesses in verse 12 and 11 that he learned contentment as he went through those difficult circumstances. He says, I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I am instructed, he says, means I have been taught. God has taught me during these difficult times. How? How did God teach him contentment during these times of trouble? Well, God taught him during these difficult times that life with him is everything. Paul was left often in his life, or he was not left, but he was put in a position where he had very little, almost nothing. But God used those times to bring Paul to lean on Him, to provide what was needed, and to seek His face. And Paul found that this life with God, this fellowship with God that he had during those times, that was everything. He saw, yes, all that I really needed in this life is life with the Lord. And He's with me. As I pray, I experience His close presence. He's with me and I'm at peace during these trials. I may not have much in an earthly sense, but I have life with the Lord. I have fellowship with Him, and that is everything. God also used prosperous times to teach him contentment. And verse 12 shows that he did have times where he prospered. It says, I know how to be abased, and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things I'm instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. So he knew what it was like to be abound, that is to have much. And God taught him contentment during those times of abounding too. God brought him to see during those times that the things of this earth never satisfy. You just want more. Life with God is what satisfies. A life in which you are leaning upon Jesus Christ for all of your salvation. Seeking Him in prayer. Seeking fellowship with Him. Seeking to serve Him in thankfulness. That's a life that satisfies. In which you're satisfied. God taught him to be content. To be at peace with whatever circumstances he was in. God made Paul to see that he had God. And that's what he needed. Now, as he did for Paul, God uses the circumstances of life also to teach us contentment. He uses the difficulties we face to teach us contentment. Think of this instance or example. It may be that one of you here has had cancer. And think about what happened during that time in which you had cancer. And family members, you think about that too, as your loved one had cancer. Think about that time. God brought you to think about Him a lot during that time where your loved one had cancer or where you did. He led you to think a lot about who He is. And His promises. He led you to think a lot about the salvation that you and your loved one in Christ have in Him. Maybe you had cancer. You thought, oh, this cancer might destroy my body. That's true. But one day, Christ is coming again. And He will raise me up to live with Him in body and soul forever in the new heavens and new earth. I have salvation in Christ. You dwell upon that salvation you have in Christ, and you pray, and you think upon who God is as you pray during those difficult times. You think upon His promises. And during those times, we are experiencing sweet fellowship with Jesus Christ by faith. And we see that life with God, that's what satisfies. None of the things of the earth ever could. He teaches us to be content, even during cancer. For we have Him. And He's guiding us with His counsel and will afterward receive us to glory. He uses the times of contentment, or times of difficulty, to teach us contentment, but also the times of prosperity too. Many of us have a lot. But God uses that as well to show us that the things of the earth don't satisfy. That new house or new truck doesn't really satisfy. God uses times of prosperity to bring us to the realization that those things don't give us peace. Those things pass away quickly and they do not bring us peace. Life with Him is the only thing that satisfies. God uses these experiences of life to bring us to say, I am content with whatever circumstance I am in because I have Christ. Having Him, I know how to be abased and I know how to abound. I have life with Him, so I have everything. I have learned in whatsoever state I am to be content. In the last place this morning, what is the possibility of living in contentment? What is the possibility? We can only live in contentment through Jesus Christ who strengthens us. Paul makes that very clear in Philippians chapter 4, verse 13. I can do all things, he says, I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. Paul is very intent on showing that the possibility of being content lies in Jesus Christ alone. Paul's making very clear, it's not in me. Paul does not want anyone to think that he is something. He does not want anyone to think that, well, the Apostle Paul can be content because he's the Apostle Paul. But I can't be content. I'm not the Apostle Paul. No, Paul makes sure we know he does not live in contentment in his own strength. He says, I do this through Christ who strengthens me. Now notice that Paul, especially in verse 13, is talking about contentment. If you look at the context. Sometimes people use this verse in connection with many different things. Maybe they talk about athletics, that I can do this through Christ who strengthens me. Maybe you can think I can take care of kids well through Christ who strengthens me. Well, Paul's not, first of all, speaking of those things. First of all, he's speaking of contentment. I can do this. I can be content through Christ which strengtheneth me. Now think of who Christ is. Tell if you understand that he strengthens us to be content. Think of who he is. Jesus Christ is the one who was perfectly content his whole life long. Perfectly content. If outward circumstances were to determine if Christ was going to be content or not during his life, he never would have been. Think of what happened to him. He was born in poverty. He lived much of his life in poverty. He was mocked by his own brethren, rejected by them, people that he grew up with. And then think of the end of his life. He was beaten many times, bloodied back. He was taken to Calvary where he was put on that cross. And he suffered there under the fullness of the wrath of God. But Christ never complained. He had no trace of discontentment. He went all the way to the cross in perfect submission to God's will. Now He, Christ, the risen and ascended Lord, He works in us to be content. Christ died and He rose again and He ascended. And that Christ united himself to Paul by the bond of faith. And he empowered Paul to believe in him and to live in contentment to the glory of his name. And that risen Lord empowers us as well. Without him, we would curse God during difficult times. We would say he's a bad God. But kids, Jesus Christ, think of this, kids. Jesus Christ, the one who is perfectly content, he lives within us. He has strengthened us to believe in him. And he strengthens us now to be content. To remember his promises in those difficult times and be content. To be at peace in those earthly circumstances that are sometimes very difficult. What a Savior he is. Thanks be to him. And Christ does this work in us, all on the basis of his work at the cross. Without his work at the cross, we would be guilty sinners before God, and Christ would have no right to work in us. We would have to be left dead in sin and be destroyed forever. But Jesus Christ went to the cross, and he paid for all of the sins of us believers. Paid for them all. So they're all gone. That guilt is gone before God. And so Christ, having paid for those sins, has the right to work within us. And he does work within us to be content more and more to his glory. Praise God. Christ empowers us to be content. And he empowers us through the Word and in the way of prayer. He empowers us through the Word. Christ taught Paul contentment through the circumstances, through earthly experiences, and empowered him to be content, actually to live in contentment, using the Word. Paul was a preacher of the Word of Jesus Christ. Christ worked in Paul through that Word that he preached. Christ worked in Paul to live in contentment. Jesus says in John 17, verse 17, He says, "Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth." Jesus was talking about His people there. He was saying, make them holy. That's sanctification. Make them holy through thy truth. Thy word is truth. So that shows that Jesus sanctifies and strengthens through the word. And that's how He strengthened Paul to be content as he went through this various circumstances of life. During those circumstances of life that he faced, even the most difficult ones, Jesus used the Word to remind Paul of who he was, who God is, of who Christ is, and that God was guiding Paul with His counsel and would afterward receive him to glory. Christ strengthened him to be content. And amazingly, Christ, and graciously, Christ does the same with us. We go through various circumstances in this life. And Jesus speaks to us in His Word on the Sabbath day. He says to us in His Word, "I make all things work for the good of my people. I will never leave you or forsake you. I have sent Jesus Christ to pay for all of your sins, and you have eternal life." And we're satisfied. Christ uses the Word to bring us to be satisfied, to be content. He's doing that even now as He reminds us of these promises in His Word. So attend to the means of grace. Come to hear Jesus speak to you those promises of the Word each Sunday. Be here regularly so that you might hear that. And through the Word, you might grow in contentment to the glory of the God of our salvation. Also, Christ empowers us to be content in the way of prayer as we face these various circumstances. Philippians 4, verses 6 and 7. So, a few verses earlier in the chapter, Paul talks about prayer and the connection with peace and contentment that there is to prayer. Verse 6, he says, "Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus." There's a connection between verses 6 and 7 there. Verse 6 speaks about praying. And verse 7 says, "The peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus." But that shows us, those two verses, the connection there shows us that Christ is pleased to provide peace and contentment in the way of prayer. He's pleased to provide peace and contentment to us in the way of us praying for peace and contentment. He is pleased to provide peace and contentment to us in the way of us praying in general. Think about it. As we pray, we use names of God like Jehovah, and we dwell upon who He is as our faithful friend. And we use names like Father. In the way of prayer, we are reminded of who our God is and reminded of His promises, and we're content. We're strengthened to be content and at peace with our current earthly life and circumstances. Christ empowers us in the way of prayer. And He's sovereign in all of that. He works in us to pray. And then He strengthens us in the way of prayer to be content. What a Savior He is. And may that Savior, may Jesus Christ, strengthen us through the Word that we've heard today, to grow in contentment to the glory of the God of our salvation. And thanksgiving to Him. Amen. Let's pray. Our Father which art in heaven, we bow before Thee in humility. We confess our failures to be content as we ought. Forgive us in the blood of Jesus Christ, and also turn us, Lord, and strengthen us to live lives of contentment to the glory of Thee, the God who is so good to us. Apply the word to our hearts, Lord. Strengthen us this week and then this day in contentment. And it is in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.